Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 9, entitled The Appearance of the Demon Vritasura, texts 36. Nahi viroda ubayam bhagavati uparimita guna gana ishvare navagaye mahatmye arvachinna vikalpi vitarka vichara pramana basa kutarka shasta kalilanta karanasya duravagrahavadinam Vivadanava sara uparata samasta maya maye kivale vatma mayam antardayako nvavarto durgata iva bhavati sarupdvaya bhavat. Translation. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all contradictions can be reconciled in you. O Lord, since you are the Supreme Person, the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities, the Supreme Controller, your unlimited glories are inconceivable to the conditioned souls. Many modern theologians argue about right and wrong without knowing what is actually right. Their arguments are always false and their judgments inconclusive because they have no authorized evidence with which to gain knowledge of you. Because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusions, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Furthermore, because of polluted eagerness to arrive at the right conclusions, their theories are incapable of revealing you, who are transcendental to their material conceptions. You are one without a second, and therefore in your contradictions like doing and not doing, happiness and distress are not contradictory. Your potency is so great that it can do and undo anything as you like. With the help of that potency, what is impossible for you? Since there is no duality in your constitutional position, you can do everything by the influence of your energy. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being self-sufficient, is full of transcendental bliss, Atmaram. He enjoys bliss in two ways, when he appears happy and when he appears distressed. Distinctions and contradictions are impossible in him, because only from him have they emanated. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all knowledge, all potency, all strength, all opulence and influence. There's no limit to his powers. Since he's full in all transcendental attributes, nothing abominable from the material world can exist in him. He's transcendental and spiritual, and therefore conceptions of material happiness and distress do not apply to him. We should not be astonished to find contradictions in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, there are no contradictions. That is the meaning of his Supreme Being. Because he's all-powerful, he's not subject to the conditioned soul's arguments regarding existence or non-existence. He's pleased to protect his devotees by killing their enemies. He enjoys both the killing and the protecting. Such freedom from duality applies not only to the Lord, but also to his devotees. In Vrindavan, the damsels of Rajabhumi enjoy transcendental bliss in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and they feel the same transcendental bliss and separation when Krishna and Balaram leave Vrindavan for Mathura. There is no question of material pains or pleasures for either the Personality of Godhead or his pure devotees. Although they are sometimes superficially said to be distressed or happy, one who is Atmaram is blissful in both ways. Non-devotees cannot understand the contradictions present in the Supreme Lord or his devotees. Therefore in Bhagavad Gita the Lord says bhaktyamam abhijanati. The transcendental pastimes can be understood through devotional service. To non-devotees they're inconceivable. Achinchakaru ye bhava natam stakini yojayet. The Supreme Lord and his form, name, pastime and paraphernalia are inconceivable to non-devotees, and one should not try to understand much reality simply by logical arguments. They will not bring one to the right conclusion about the Absolute Truth. Om Jnanati Manandasya Jnanandana Salakya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Si Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Siguro Siyutapadakamalam Sigurun Vaisnavam Sucha Sirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Palan Sahagana Lalita Sivisakan Vitam Sucha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyacha Kripasanduvyevacha Paditanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Lord Krishna is always residing in the spiritual world. Even when he descends to the material world, the spiritual world also descends. Therefore, Krishna is not ever present in the material world as such. He's always residing in his own transcendental abode, in his own transcendental pleasure pastimes, along with his transcendental associates, his eternal devotees, who are also completely transcendental and always absorbed in blissful pastimes with the Supreme Lord. Here it is described how even the residents of Vrindavan, when in separation from Krishna, are actually not distressed, but even that is blissful because of the remembrance of Krishna. So this is our primary occupation. Sravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering about Krishna, somehow or other, to spend our days in that way, because this is the substance of the Sankirtan movement. We may maintain big institutions, we may maintain large temples, we may construct many buildings, but all these things without hearing, chanting, and remembering of Krishna become empty, become just stone, and become really not meaningful. Even the worship of the deity, although the deity is purely transcendental, and Krishna himself, without hearing, chanting, and remembering, in this age, the worship of the deity is also not complete. Kalu tat hari kirtanat. Dwapara paricharyaya kalu tat hari kirtanat. In Dwapara Yuga, there may be worship of the deity, but in this age of Kali, even the worship of the Lord in his temple is accompanied by kirtan. So it is kirtan which is the essence. It is from hearing, chanting, and remembering that we connect with Krishna. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. The Lord appears again and again in this material world, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the verse that Jiva Goswami has identified as the Paribhasa Sutra, or the one verse which captures the entire essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is established as the Supreme Lord. Eti chamsa kalapumsa Krishna stu Bhagavan svayam Indrari vyakalam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the original, self-same, Supreme Lord. He appears in his original form. And all the other forms are either his Svamsa, his part, his Amsa, or his Kala, or his portion, or a portion of the plenary portion. So in this way, Krishna may manifest himself as the Supreme Lord. Nanavataram akarut bhuvanesu kintu. Krishna may appear in the form of unlimited avatars. And again, Ramadi Murtisu Kalani Amen Tistan. And then Krishna Swayam. Again, Krishna is established as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Krishna appears in this age of Kali, he does so in a hidden form. In this age of Kali, Lord Krishna comes as a hidden form. He is known as Triyugi Narayan, as the one who appears in three yugas. Right? So, therefore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya pointed out to his brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya. He said, in this age, there is no incarnation of the Lord. There is no incarnation of the Lord, because it is clearly stated, the Lord is Triyugi Narayan. He appears in three yugas. And then Gopinathacharya explained, yes, it is a fact. It is a fact that in this age, there is no Leela avatar. There are so many Leela avatars. There are so many avatars of the Lord who appear to perform various pastimes. In this age, there is no such expansion of the Lord. Just like recently we observed the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra. And in the Padma Purana, it is stated that Lord Ramachandra is none other than Narayan, that Lakshman is none other than Anantasesh. So we are seeing that they are fully transcendental personalities. Yet from Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand the position of Lord Narayan. We understand that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, that Krishna then expands himself in the form of Lord Balaram, that from Balaram the first Chaturvyuha manifests of Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, and that from that Chaturvyuha manifests Narayan. So we are seeing here how Krishna expands himself. Anantarupam, Advaitam Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. He has unlimited forms. So Lord Krishna expands himself. Dipartire vihida santrama vyapecha dipayate virtahena samana dharma. Yastadrike vihita vishnu tayor vibhati govindamadi purusam tamaham bhajami. As from one deepa, from one light, from one lamp, we can light many other lamps. In that way, the Lord expands himself. So in this age of Kali, there is no Leela avatar. However, in this age of Kali, there is a form of the Lord that appears, but not an expansion of the Lord. There is no expansion of the Lord in the age of Kali. There is only the Lord himself that appears in the age of Kali. Therefore, we understand that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, he is none other than Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. He is that very same original Supreme Lord. There is no difference. We remember that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, how he came to Imlitala, and he sat down under that tamarind tree. And it said that by experiencing intense separation from Krishna, the Lord became blackish and then appeared like Krishna to show there is no difference between Radha and Krishna, that's also there, but there's no difference between Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, we also find a description how when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was delivering Jagai and Madai, Jagai had appreciated the kirtan of Lord Nityananda, and when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, he appreciated that. He was happy to hear that. Jagai had also stopped Madai from hitting Nityananda for the second time. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, who had appeared at the spot with his Sudarshan Chakra raised, ready to kill the brothers, instead embraced Jagai. At that time, all the sinful reactions of Jagai, which were so many, they were absorbed in the transcendental body of the Supreme Lord. And for a moment, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went blackish, right? And just appeared like Krishna. So it is described. Everyone saw. So obviously, we understand that, again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was displaying that he was non-different from Krishna. So it is not surprising that since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna, that the personality who wrote down his pastimes is non-different from the personality who writes down the pastimes of Krishna. Therefore, it is said that Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is the writer of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, who today it is the Tithi that Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur had his Tirubhav, his departure from this world. It is said that the Tirubhav, or the disappearance day of a Vaishnava, is more important than the appearance day. And the reason is that at the time of the disappearance, a Vaishnava has displayed his transcendental opulence. And therefore, that day is even filled with more mercy than his appearance day. So today, we're observing the Tirubhav, or the disappearance day of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote down the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are describing the pastimes of Swayam Bhagavan, the direct Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is now appearing in a golden form. Tvista Krishnam Sangupankasta Parasadam. He is now Akrishna, not blackish. Akrishna. He is now appearing in this golden form. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his life and pastimes are described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. It is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is mentioned that in Vrindavan, Srila Rupa Goswami established the Radha Govinda temple. It is said that at that time, the Radha Govinda temple was flourishing. There were thousands of devotees who would assemble there every day. But they were not just casual pilgrims who would come for darshan, but these thousands of devotees, they had only one occupation, And that occupation was to hear from the Chaitanya Mangal. The Chaitanya Mangal was the book written by Vrindavan Das Thakur at that time, which described the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the devotees in Vrindavan would day and night hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was, and they were very ecstatic and very transcendental devotees, so it is described. With great relish, they were absorbed in remembering and hearing all the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And later, of course, Lochan Das Thakur wrote a book which he also called Chaitanya Mangal, about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because this was causing confusion, therefore the acharyas renamed Vrindavan Das Thakur's book from Chaitanya Mangal to Chaitanya Bhagavat. Yeah, Shri Sigourney Thai. They renamed the book. One sec. To drink. To Chaitanya Bhagavat, and referring again that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhagavan, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. That is not commonly understood. But in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur is clearly establishing that. He is establishing the divine nature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he shows that in different ways. The Chaitanya Bhagavat is made up out of three areas, the Adikanda, the Madhyakanda, and the Antyakanda. The Adikanda is describing particularly the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his early childhood pastimes. It is also giving elaborate descriptions about Lord Nityananda. About his appearance, about his childhood pastimes, and it is describing how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is acting in his youth. We also find descriptions of the marriage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and just at the end of the Adikanda, Haridas Thakur comes to the Navadvip Mandal, and he from East Bengal, from the Jessore district, from the village Budana, and settles in Shantipur region, and not far from there, and associates with Advaita Acharya. But soon we find the whole description how Haridas is accused by the Muslim magistrate of following the religions of the Hindus. And it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. My dear Haridas, you are so fortunate. You took your birth in a Muslim family. He said, we will not even touch the rice that has been touched by a Hindu. You've taken such a high birth. How can you take these low activities of the Hindus? Please, come to your senses. But Haridas was not willing to give up the path of pure devotional service. And thus, Haridas became prosecuted. And we are hearing how he is being whipped in all these different marketplaces. And somehow or other, Haridas, by the grace of the Lord, was not dying He was not dying. It was a problem. The tormentors at one point were coming to despair. I mean, you know, you're not dying. How is this possible? Oh, you want me to die? Then Haridas agreed and fell on the ground, and there was no sign of life. However, if they would have investigated more carefully, they would have noticed that there was slight breathing, very slight. But Haridas had gone into an internal state of ecstatic trance and was lying there on the ground. So because he was a non-believer and had given up glorious Islam, therefore they said his body cannot be buried in the holy earth. No, instead we'll just throw it in the river. And they threw his body in the Ganga. And then his body floated in the Ganga. Later Haridas came out of that river. He came out of his trance, then came out of the river, and he walked back into the village, chanting the holy name in front of all these Muslim authorities. Then they accepted he's a peer, he's a saint, he has the grace of the Lord. And I said, leave him alone and, you know, watch out. Because they also respect saintly persons. So this pastime of the Adi Lila has some bearing on a pastime that comes back in the Madhya Lila. Whereas in the Adi Kanda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is remaining covered. He is Nimai Pandit. It's not known to be the Supreme Lord. Although he does supernatural things, his learning as Nimai Pandit is extraordinary. He can pose arguments that no one can defeat, and then he challenges everyone, defeat me. When no one can defeat him, he defeats them himself. Then everyone is amazed. Say, oh, how could he defeat these arguments? And then he defeats those arguments as well. So in this way, everyone is just totally bewildered. And one personality tries to challenge him every day, Murari Gupta. Murari is about 15 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Murari was also studying in the same Sanskrit hall of Gangadas Pandit. And he was arguing with Nimai on Shastric points. But every day he was defeated. And then Nimai would say, Murari, go back home and study your books again. You didn't study properly. Try again. And then he would come back again with some new argument to defeat Nimai. But he could never defeat Nimai. Undefeatable. So these things are described in the Adi Lila. Also there are, it is said when he was a boy, he would go to the Ganga and he would harass the proud caste brahmanas, the smartas, who were like extremely proud of their birth and position. And he would sit there at the site of the Ganga, and he would go dive in the water, swim on the water, and when the brahmanas were standing waist high in the Ganga to chant their Gayatri mantra, Nimai would come underwater and pull their legs and they would fall over. So he enjoyed this very much. Another thing he did, which was even more extreme, was when the brahmanas came out of the water and had taken their bath, Nimai Pandit, he would have water in his mouth, Ganga water, and he would spit it on them. You can understand how the brahmanas were shocked, right? Being totally pure and uncontaminated, and then this boy spit on them. So then they complained to his father. But Nimai, when he would come home, he'd said, no, I never went to the Ganga. I didn't go to the Ganga. Who says I went to the Ganga? says, no. And there was dust on his body and even ink spots from the school. And his hair was dry. He said, no, he didn't go to Ganga. In this way, everyone said, very smart, Nimai. Very smart. Today you escaped punishment. So these are some of the childhood pastimes of Nimai Pandit. In the Madhya Kanda, we see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day is going to the house of Srivas Thakur. There it is described that Srivas, we should know, was of the same age as the parents of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's one generation older. So Srivas had been observing kirtan in his house since a very, very long time. And long before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Now, it wasn't always appreciated that Srivas was performing this kirtan because it was attracting the attention of the Muslims. At least the local villagers were afraid like that. They think this Srivas, he's in our village, and he's just chanting every night, so loud, they are just, no one can sleep. And not only that, but they are making so much noise with this Maha Mantra, and you know, we are occupied, an occupied nation. Yes, it can attract the enemy. And they can come and they will destroy the whole village. All of us, they will destroy. Just because this man is doing it. And on what basis? I want to know. On the basis of what scripture is he chanting like that? Yes. Who has authorized this thing? Some concocted process he is following, making so much noise. Why doesn't he just study Shastra like a normal, respectable Brahmana? In this way, people were speaking, and finally they said that they decided one day that they would cut the house of Srivas. They would cut it and throw it in the river. We understand they had chattai houses in Mayapur, bamboo, poles, so you could cut them loose and throw them in the river. So this is all described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Well, when Advaita Acharya, who is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the avatar of Lord Vishnu, of Mahavishnu himself, he said, if now the Lord does not appear, I myself will come in a four-handed form, and with my Sudarshan Chakra I will cut the heads of all these demons. So Advaita Acharya was getting serious. Somehow or other, it didn't happen. They were threatening, but still nothing happened. But then, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had appeared, it even became worse. The kirtan even increased many fold. The kirtan became even more ecstatic and more loud in the house of Srivas when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Nimai, had joined that kirtan. So then a rumor was there in the village that some people had gone to the Muslim magistrate and complained, and he had said he would send a boat. He would send a boat to arrest Srivas and destroy his house. So this time it sounded kind of serious, and therefore Srivas was concerned, and Srivas began to worship Lord Nrisingadev. So he was in the middle of a puja of Lord Nrisingadev. Just then Nimai walked to the house of Srivas Thakur, and Nimai kicked the door with full force. So Srivas started to chant louder these Nrisinga mantras because he thought now the soldiers have come. But then with a thundering voice, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srivas, don't you know that the Lord you are worshipping is at your door? So then he opened the door and saw Nimai. But he also saw that he was effulgent, and he had never seen him like that. And Nimai walked into the house and sat down on the Sringasana, on the altar of the Shaligram Shilas. He just moved them aside and he sat down right there on the altar. And then we get that description of the Mahaprakash Lila, of the Abhishek. Somehow or other, all the devotees came there. The devotees recognized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord. There was no doubt. Everyone felt it. Everyone could see it. Everyone was blissful. Everyone was overwhelmed to see him like that. And somehow or other, without any organization, they all brought paraphernalia for an Abhishek. And they began to worship the Lord like this. Then Mahaprabhu held his hand out and said, bring something to eat. And then they brought so many offerings, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate everything. It said he ate thousands of pots of yogurt. Thousands. One after the other. He ate huge quantities of bananas, he ate many sweets, he ate like such enormous quantities of prasadam, no one could understand how it was possible. It was clearly reconfirming the fact that he was the Supreme Lord. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to remember. He began to remember from each devotee details about their life. He said to Haridas, oh Haridas, remember how you were beaten in 21 marketplaces? I said, yes, my Lord, I remember. Remember, Haridas, how you did not feel any pain? I said, yes, Haridas said, that was a miracle. Yes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when these Muslims were beating you, I was on my way to that place to kill them with my Sudarshan Chakra. And then you prayed, oh my Lord, please forgive them. What could I do then? What could I do then? So then I didn't kill them. Then what I did, I put my back over your back. And I took all that beating on my back. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned around and his back was just covered with beating marks from whip. When Haridas saw that, that was too much for him. He fainted. He fell unconscious to the ground. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing to Haridas that actually he was the Supreme Lord and that he had been there all along. To Advaita Acharya also was much older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said that Advaita Acharya was 53 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why we see him with gray hairs and beard and everything. So it is said that whereas Srivas, before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was having kirtan in his house, Advaita Acharya was explaining the Bhagavad Gita. And he was trying to explain the Gitara Satyara part, or the true meaning of the Bhagavad Gita, or Bhagavad Gita as it is. So Advaita Acharya's attempt was to explain Bhagavad Gita as it is. And he tried to explain each verse in the context of the personalist understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that the Jiva is the eternal servant of the Lord. See? And that Natrivaham Jatunasam Natram Nime Janadipa, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall we ever cease to be. So that personality is eternal. That not only in this life we have personality, but in eternal life also. So eternally the Supreme Lord will still be the Supreme Lord, and we will never become the Supreme Lord. We are Krishna Nitya Das. The eternal servant of Krishna in this life and in the next, also in the eternal spiritual world. So all these kind of conclusions Advaita Acharya was explaining. But then in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he came to a verse that was puzzling him, because there it is explained that the Lord has many, many hands and many legs and many faces, many eyes. And this really looks like this verse had been taken by the impersonalists to support their case. And they said, yes, see, in this way it is described that the Lord is omniscient. See, the Bhagavad Gita is establishing it, that the Lord is actually all-pervading. And therefore Brahman is actually the Supreme. See? On the basis of Bhagavad Gita. Oh, being established here. And Advaita Acharya was breaking his head on this verse. He's breaking his head. He's trying to understand the verse. At this time of the Mahaprakash Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the meaning of that verse. He said, so, you have been trying to explain the Bhagavad Gita, the Satyara part, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, Gitira Satyara part. But this verse is puzzling, isn't it? The many hands, the many legs, the many faces. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained and said, my dear Advaita Acharya, this verse is not describing Brahman. It is not. He said, this verse is describing the super soul. It is describing Paramatma. It describes Paramatma within the heart of all living beings who has many faces, because he appears in the hearts of so many living beings. There's many hands, because he appears in the hearts of so many living beings. So many legs, because he appears in the hearts of unlimited living beings. It is Paramatma. We see that in the commentary on the Bhagavad Gita from Baladev Vijayabhusan, which Srila Prabhupada particularly followed as the main inspiration for his own purports, even more so than the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which he also used. We see that in the commentary of Baladev Vijayabhusan, the same point is made. It is Paramatma. And we see that in the translation, Srila Prabhupada is saying Paramatma. In this way, it is very clear to us. But prior to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarifying the verse, it was understood in an impersonalist way, and no one could understand. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarified and also showed his relationship with Advaita Acharya as Swayam Bhagavan, as the original Supreme Lord, whereas Advaita Acharya is described as the avatar, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, or the expansion of the Supreme Lord. In other words, who has some dependence on the independent Supreme Lord. Swayam Bhagavan is independent. He has no other cause than himself. Anadir Adir Govinda. He is Anadir Adir. He has no other origin than himself. And he is Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes. That is Krishna. So Krishna Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, has no other origin than Himself. So this was the relationship between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Avatari and who is the origin of all avatars, and Advaita Acharya as Avatar. So many, many devotees were called forward. One Grihastha was called forward, and he had a young daughter. So one evening they were traveling, and then some Pathan soldiers, some Muslim soldiers, they were following them. They were following them. So he was getting very worried about his daughter and wife. Both were good looking, so he thought, what will happen now? So they're walking fast into the night, trying to stay ahead of these soldiers. They were being followed. And they were somehow or other staying ahead when they came to a river. So now, what will we do now? What? We were caught between the river and these soldiers are coming closer. What will they do to the women? Then they prayed. They all prayed to the Supreme Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you remember? You remember this night? He said, yes, my Lord. Oh, how can I forget this night? Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, do you remember that suddenly out of the darkness, out of nowhere, a boat appeared, and that your family just jumped in that boat, and that, you know, in this way you got saved, right? And the soldiers that stood there on the bank looking at you, the boat going away. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that boatman was I. So in this way, in the Mahaprakash Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing his divine origin. He was revealing that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus the Chaitanya Bhagavat is truly the Chaitanya Bhagavat. When the Acharyas renamed the book Chaitanya Mangal, they didn't just give it another name because there was a second book, Chaitanya Mangal. It was quite common to, just as we have Chaitanya Charita, we have so many Chaitanya Charitas, so many books describing the characteristics of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The titles were often very similar, yes. But the Acharyas, they could see that what Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote is of such extraordinary nature, it deserves a unique position. And therefore let us rename it so that it stands out, and let us call it Chaitanya Bhagavat to indicate not just Chaitanya Mangal, the auspicious descriptions about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Bhagavat, which carries even more authority because it establishes that here we're dealing with the Supreme Lord. Interesting is that Vrindavan Das Thakur, he never met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He did meet Lord Nityananda and was a disciple of Lord Nityananda. And he has elaborately glorified and described Nityananda, the tattva of Nityananda. He has described the pastimes of Nityananda. But somehow or other he did not meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he was on the planet when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the planet, but somehow or other he was a youth, and as a child he never saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he became a more important biographer. His biography is considered more important than the biography of Murari Gupta. Although Murari Gupta, he was 15 years older, as I said, and Murari Gupta, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in 1510. That was the end of life in Navadvip. Life stopped. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, all the devotees, they were just like dying in separation. It was then, right there and then, that Murari Gupta started to write down his diary to stay alive. He had to do it. What else could he do but remember? So his diary became the first diary, the first biography about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is the foundation of all the other diaries. But then when Vrindavan Das Thakur started writing, he wrote much more elaborate, with much more taste and ras. He was just revealing the ecstasies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees in so much more depth, that through the Chaitanya Bhagavat we are following the same chronology of past times as Murari Gupta, but yet the ras is much deeper. Of course, only at the end of the Madhya Kanda is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. Only at the end. And Antya Kanda is very short. There's not much. Little bit about Puri, but not much. So in that way, some pastimes, some water pastimes, etc., are there near the Gundicha temple in Indrajumna Sarovar, where all the devotees are splashing one another with water, and even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy, who were very respectable gentlemen and scholars, they started to fight in the water like kids. And Nityananda was expert and would defeat Advaitacharya, always shoot water in the eyes. So these things were going on in Puri, but we don't get the descriptions of the ecstasy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing in separation of Krishna in his latter pastimes in Puri. So later, all these devotees in the Radha Govinda temple, they requested Krishnadas Kaviraj to write about that, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he had an intimate connection with Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he had been placed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Swarup Damodar, he had been keeping the diary of the later pastimes. That was not there in Murari Gupta's diary. That was there in Swarup Damodar's diary, but that diary disappeared. Who has? Anybody? Give to me. But that diary is not available. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in his introduction to the Brahma Samhita, he mentions that Raghunath Das was the servant of Swarup Damodar and he memorized the entire diary. And then Raghunath Das shared the diary with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and everybody knew it. Therefore, because Krishnadas was a follower of the Goswamis, and because Krishnadas knew this diary of Swarup Damodar, they asked him, you please write about the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are not there in Chaitanya Bhagavat. You please write about that. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, which became the ultimate book about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it includes everything, even the later pastimes, and therefore also the more intimate descriptions of vipralamba, of separation, which are not really described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada was asked to translate the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Prabhupada thought about it, came back the next morning and said, I have decided to start translating Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita is the ultimate, the last word amongst all the biographies. It is the final conclusions. All the conclusions of Gaudiya Vaishnavism are included there. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told the devotees that they should first read the Chaitanya Bhagavat 100 times. Should read it 100 times. Okay, so we can start today. 100 times. After that, should read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, and then we can read the Bhagavatam. So it's interesting. It's another way, another approach than what we learned from Srila Prabhupada. Go from Bhagavad Gita to Srimad Bhagavatam and then postgraduate to Chaitanya Charitamrita. But they were Bengalis. And they knew about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone in Bengal knew about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we go now to East Bengal, we still see that spirit amongst so many Vaishnavas. They are just Mahaprabhu, 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 Mahaprabhu. And of course, in West Bengal, communism has had covered this consciousness a little bit. But still, Mahaprabhu is very famous and known. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said like that. First, read Chaitanya Bhagavat, then Chaitanya Charitamrita, then Srimad Bhagavata. Anyway, so both these biographies are essential. The Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Bhagavat, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said that he had, out of respect for Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is none different from Vyasadeva, he had not touched upon those same pastimes that were there in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Therefore, reading Chaitanya Charitamrita alone is incomplete, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is pointing out there are these pastimes in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So you must read it. But then again, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, everything. He said, he was in Assam, there was an earthquake, and suddenly the river was flooding, and there was a big flood. And it said, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta started lecturing on the Mahapralaya, the final flood that inundates the entire universe. And he said, when the universe is being destroyed, and the Mahapralaya comes, what will you take? What will you do? You take your treasures. You take Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you carry it through the water. But when it gets too heavy, and you can no longer carry all these books, all right, let the Bhagavad Gita go. And you carry Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because Srimad Bhagavatam describes about Krishna, and the Bhagavad Gita doesn't describe Krishna directly. So Bhagavatam, descriptions about Krishna directly. Here, Chaitanya Charitamrita. But when it still gets too heavy, and the water is too much, let the Bhagavatam go. Let it go. And then, you have Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because from Chaitanya Charitamrita, everything can be again reconstructed, like this he explained. So, and together with Chaitanya Bhagavat, we are relishing and reading how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna himself. Thank you very much. Okay. I take one question only because it's late. But and if there's no question, then we can end. No question? Maharaj has a comment. There's a microphone. So, I said that I refer to that verse, right, which describes that the Lord is Tri Yugi Narayan, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was arguing on that verse and saying that it established that in this age of Kali there is no incarnation of the Lord. Well, then there was a discussion between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Gopinath Acharya, his brother-in-law, who was a Vaishnava, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya an impersonalist. So Gopinath Acharya was saying, no, that verse is not meaning that there is no incarnation of the Lord, but that Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna is coming. He is there. And therefore, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different from him. Right? And his brother, Nityananda, is also none different from him. Because although Balaram is the expansion of Krishna, he is not an incarnation. Balaram is none different from Krishna. He's not an avatar. Balaram is also Swayam Bhagavan, but in a different mood. He is Sevak Bhagavan, and Krishna is Sevya Bhagavan. Krishna is the Lord that is being served, and Balaram is the Lord in the mood of a servant. That's the difference. So Balaram is therefore Adiguru, the original servant. The Lord himself takes the role of Guru, but he is non-different from Krishna. There's no difference between Krishna and Balaram in that sense. Therefore, he's still the Supreme Lord. And Mahavishnu, Advaita Acharya, he is not a Leela avatar. No. He's Purusha avatar. And the Purusha avatar is always there because he's maintaining the entire Mahatattva. Right? So Purusha avatar is there in every yuga. There's no question that the Purusha avatar is not appearing and disappearing. If he would disappear, who would maintain the entire Mahatattva? So no, he's there. Huh? He must be there. So they're all there. In that sense, Tri Yugi Narayan. Ah, Tri Yugi Narayan, Maharaj. Okay. That's in our Dwapar. But that's only once in a day of Brahma, right? In the other Dwaparas, there is incarnation of the Lord. So, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, in the day of Brahma, thousands Dwapara Yugas, there are these incarnations. Only once the Lord himself takes. All right. Granted. Yes. All right. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.